25 years before he made the very same mistake that is described in this passage. Now, what does that tell you? Here's what it tells me. It tells me we better be abiding in the Lord all the time.
Welcome to Glimpses of Calvary, and thank you for joining us. Glimpses of Calvary is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Findlay, Ohio. Join us now as our pastor, Gordon Dixon, opens the Word of God to us.
2 Corinthians chapter 6. And as you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you need to really stop and think about the fact that this is addressed to Christians. It is addressed to individuals, just as we saw in 1 John chapter 5, that it says, little children, keep yourself from idols, just as Christians were being addressed in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, when he said, mortify therefore these members, and he said that covetousness is as idolatry, later to say, for which things sake the wrath of God came upon the children of disobedience. What else is he saying here? What else is a denial of this idolatry? Well, he says in verse 16, and we'll just pick up in the middle of a series of questions in verse 16, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? So there's our word, there's the idolatry. For you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And you remember the phrase from this morning, the golden thread? I will be their God and they will be my people. There it is again. That golden thread that just runs through the scripture all the way to heaven. And the Lord is saying, here's the way it ought to be. I will be your God. You will be my people. And so he asked this series of questions in this context. Well, how then, if we were to say, how then can I deny the idolatry? How can I turn away from the idolatry? Look how practical it gets here in verse 17. Wherefore, come ye out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. In fact, he says in verse 18, I will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You see, then, it is in salvation and in this separated lifestyle that we say no to idolatry. We say, no, absolutely not. I'm going to guard my heart. I'm going to stay away from these kinds of things. Before I finish the message out tonight, it would be inappropriate for me to say, there it is, and leave it right there. What I have to do is, I have to take you to at least two other passages, because we have to see the deception here. Go, if you would, over to Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20, here is a passage where Abraham makes a very foolish mistake. Now, I just want you to stop and think about something. If you went back and read, in fact, you might want to write down Genesis 12, verses 10 through 20. Genesis 12, verses 10 through 20. You will find in Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 through 20, that Abraham made exactly the same sinful mistake that is described here. But listen to me carefully. That was 25 years before. 25 years before, he made the very same mistake that is described in this passage. Now, what does that tell you? Here's what it tells me. It tells me we better be abiding in the Lord all the time. We had better not be thinking, oh, I'm way past that. That's just not a problem for me anymore. To say that, ladies and gentlemen, is to say, beloved, this part doesn't really apply to me. But the fact is, it does apply, and it applies to every one of us. In fact, it begins to explain to us why there have been some notable failures inside Christian circles. Because, in fact, what has apparently happened is there has been this secret idolatry of the heart. Now, can I point to any individual and say, I know what his idols were? No. But it is very plain when people begin to talk and they begin to confess and preachers begin to talk to other preachers about their own failures, you begin to see before very long it is this. It is the idolatry of the heart. And sometimes it is even motivated by fear. Now, the other thing I asked you to remember a few moments ago, we were over in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Do you remember the part about who through fear of death? Let's take that and apply it to this passage and ask, Abraham, were you afraid of dying? Here's what Abraham had done. He asked Sarah to say that she was merely his sister. Abimelech had taken her as his wife. By the way, this is almost, can you imagine this? Can you imagine the Lord awakening you or speaking to you in a dream, speaking to you in a dream and saying, by the way, if you go on anymore, you're a dead man. Can you imagine the Lord saying that? That's what happened to Abimelech. The Lord says, you go any further here, you're a dead man. Well, I just have the belief that that would get your total and complete attention. Certainly would mine, and it certainly did Abimelech's. And he was very, very interested in making this right and finding out. And so naturally, he asked Abraham, Abraham, what happened here? What did you see or what was going on that you committed this horrible, this ethical and moral problem and mess on all of us? What in the world have you done? Look at verse 9. Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us, and what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin, that thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done? Verse 10. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou? Thou hast done such a thing. Abraham said in verse 11, Abraham said, because I thought. Stop just a moment. I want to ask you a question. Remember the message from last Sunday night about what you say in your heart? Here it is in this passage. Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. Now here's what Abraham's saying. Abraham's saying, I fear God in my heart, but because I thought the fear of God was absent from this society, that's why I changed my behavior. That's why there was this moral and ethical lapse. That's why we told the lie. That's why we put everybody in such great danger. But hello, the fear of God was in the society. You could see it very plainly in this passage. It was in Abimelech. When he told his servants, they all said, no, wait, what happened here? And the fear of God was present in every one of them. But because Abraham thought it was absent, because he merely, in his own mind, began to fear death and began to say, you know what? God's not strong enough here. God can't be in control. And so, Lord, I'm going to have to help you out here. I'm going to have to take this one myself. Ladies and gentlemen, that is idolatry. It is the idolatry of self. It is a self-sufficiency that instead of trusting the Lord, in fact, the principle I walked away with, and I think it's in your Bible reading schedule, I think it's this week, in your Bible reading schedule is this. It is not nearly, the real question is not, is the fear of God in the society? The real question is the fear of God in the saint? Did Abraham really fear the Lord on that occasion? It's very plain that he did on many occasions. But did he fear the Lord on that particular occasion? No. And as a result, what the fear of man did to him, again, it's idolatry, but he pushed aside the fear of the Lord. He trusted only in himself, and that's exactly how this problem started. Let me show you a more graphic illustration, and we're done. 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. I hope that you will give careful consideration to the passages that we have before us, and I hope that you will give very careful consideration to what this one says, because this one is quite startling if you will stop and think about the implications of it. 1 Kings chapter 11. I want you to see what it says in verse 4, because we're going to show you a contrast in verse 4. It came to pass when Solomon was old. Look this way just a moment. Remember what I said a minute ago about the ancients of the house of Israel? Now look, folks, many of us in this room could say, well, look, you know, I've lived a few years here. You know, I'm not a spring chicken. I've lived a little while. And so I don't think I am in danger. We would be sadly mistaken from the Scripture. Here is Solomon, who, like the ancients of the house of Israel in Ezekiel chapter 8, he was old. He was up in age. Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. That's idolatry. You say, well, you know, I'm sure that Solomon wasn't a very wise man. You'd be mistaken. The Bible says he's the wisest man who ever lived. Well, perhaps he really didn't have much of the Word of God. Excuse me? The Lord used him to write Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and also apparently parts of the Kings. This is Solomon used by the Lord. The Bible says the wisest man who ever lived. What's the point again? The point is we better be abiding every single day. We better be abiding moment by moment. If this can happen to Solomon, if it can happen to Abraham, if it can happen in David's life, then where does that leave us with reference to idolatry? It leaves us at a place where we have to trust in the Lord moment by moment, because otherwise we will fall into the same kind of idolatry. Here's the contrast that I want you to see. His wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. Is the next phrase startling to you? As was the heart of David his father. You see, wait a minute now. Couldn't we go back and look at, couldn't we go back and find evidences of the same kind of idolatry in the life of David? I mean, after all, remember the one occasion where he numbered the children of Israel because he started thinking in terms of human strength and the strength of his army rather than God is able. He started, and the Lord brought a plague as a result. What about the time with Bathsheba? What about the time we saw it last Sunday night, didn't we, where he went down to and acted like an insane person? He started acting as if he were mentally ill, you know, that he was nuts as a result of trying to take things into his own. You say, aren't there indications of that in his life? Yes, there are. But now look, here's the great encouragement. When you look at your own life with a message from this morning and the message from tonight, and you say, now wait a minute, I can think of times when those kind of things have been true of me, and so can I. But ladies and gentlemen, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the fact that our lives have at times been marked by this kind of idolatry, this idolatry of the heart, this idolatry of lust, this idolatry with money, this idolatry with food, this idolatry, that doesn't mean that that is now finally and completely the whole testimony of our lives. Oh no, no, and don't miss this. The testimony of the Word of God was that David was a man whose heart was after God and it was perfect. You know what that means? That means when you and I confront our own idolatry, we can win. We can be victorious. We can say, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. If this message at all, the message this morning, the message tonight, has at all been discouraging or depressing to you, then please, let me stop right here and say, that's not the rest of the story. It doesn't have to be that way. The Lord shows us that we can have victory if we will use His words. If we will do what He says to do and follow through in His path, then our own name, our own reputation, our own legacy, wonderful word that everybody talks about lately, our own legacy can be that we had a heart that was perfect toward God. As the psalmist said, and I believe it was David in the Psalms who said, "Unite my heart to fear thy name." But we can't walk away from this without seeing the rest of the deception. Let me show you that, and then we'll be done. It says in verse 5, Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. There's that contrast again. Then Solomon built an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech. You know what they did? You know what they did with Molech? They burned infants. By the way, the preoccupation with abortion today, it's not a thing in the world but idolatry. It's the idolatry of self. It's the idolatry of man's going to be in control. I'm not going to listen to you, Lord. I'm not trusting in you, the God of life. I'm going to be in control myself. And it's the very same kind of idolatry. You say, this is amazing. How could such a wise man do it? The more important question for all of us is, how are we doing? Are we maintaining a right heart, a perfect heart toward God?
Thank you for joining us for Glimpses of Calvary. This is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church, 2000 Broad Avenue in Findlay, Ohio, 45840. That address again is 2000 Broad Avenue, Findlay, Ohio, 45840. Please join us again each weekday at this same time as we look for Glimpses of Calvary.